Is bigger always better in Godzilla X Kong, the new empire? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Godzilla's, Kong's. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Hey, Roxy.
What's up, DJ?
Ooh, this is a big one today, literally and figuratively. We're talking about Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Roxy coming in with the save. It wasn't looking like we were going to get a screening for this one, but pulled it out last minute.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what to say.
But before we get into all of that, always a little bit of business up top. If you want more exclusive content, you can go over to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. That's where you can check out episodes like this early and ad free. You can watch live. You can check out shows like What We're Into and Spider-Versity. Right now, Sal and I are in Spider-Man Unlimited, one of the more obscure animated Spider-Man shows. So check that stuff out over on Patreon. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. If you're listening on Spotify, every week we ask a question, there will be a question on this very episode. So please go over there and give it an answer if you're listening on Spotify. But let's do a little bit of news up top. Roxy, I got to ask you about what's going on with Euphoria Season 3. Got this article here from Variety that talks about I was seeing some rumbles that it's like, okay, we're going to let our stars go keep starring in movies. We don't really know what's going on. We're working on it, but it's going to be a minute for season three. But this Variety article says, what the network isn't saying is that no one at HBO is at all sure a third season of Euphoria will ever come to fruition. From rewrites to time leaps to reimagined versions of Zendaya's character Rue, the show's next season has gone through multiple iterations, plunging its future into jeopardy. And obviously, of the two of us, you're the Euphoria fan.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this?
I do think we're going to see another season of Euphoria at some point. Now, I just want to be perfectly clear about that. Could be in 20 years when they have kids.
Like a revival show. Yeah.
Could be a reboot. Like, I'm not saying that we're going to see this cast at this age in Euphoria, because sometimes you have to let something die on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Euphoria. I think it's a great show. I love these performers. They were, because of the stardom attached to starting with Zendaya, but now, I mean, I would say that Sydney Sweeney is like maybe the biggest working actress there is.
Yeah. She's definitely having a moment right now.
Between Madam Web, which is a massive comic book movie, Anyone But You, which was a huge rom-com, and now Immaculate, which is a smaller horror indie. Like, she is cross-genre. She's a movie star. So, and obviously Zendaya is like just the it girl of the gen.
Yeah.
And Jacob Elordi, who's obviously having a huge moment too, not to mention so many other of the working actors because of the strike, because of the lack of having the scripts ready and then constantly having to change them as the actors are getting older, this show has been dealt a weird set of cards.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to do this. Like, I don't see a clear path to having the next season within the next year.
Is there merit? Because as somebody that doesn't watch the show and so only hears the conversations around the show, I got to say, this Sam Levinson cat, that's the guy that writes and directs every episode.
Yeah, and also did the greatest show of...
The Idol. Yeah, it doesn't seem, you know, let's say maybe erratic as maybe that's the way to say it. Is there a merit in pulling a True Detective and being like, cool, you're not going to keep doing Euphoria. We're going to give Euphoria over to this person now.
I don't know. I think there's more merit in letting Sam Levinson stay at the high school and getting a new cast,
mm-hmm.
like, which would be a bummer because I love these people, but it is like, he's, I think he's a genius in a lot of ways. And I think that he did something truly remarkable with Euphoria. I don't know. I think it was such a tightrope, and just a lot of times really, really great people miss. And The Idol was such a miss for me. Yeah. I mean, such
a
miss.
And it sounds like he's really problematic. He's a really problematic on set. He's not a great person to work with.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I just think what he did with the show was genius. And that's, I don't know that you could just get somebody else to do it. For True Detective, I feel very confident that there's a lot of people out there who can make a really good detective season.
Yeah.
Euphoria, it was such a, I think it's really challenging because we've seen a ton of high school shows, but they're Gossip Girl, they're 90210.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this. Sounds like he's an issue. And it sounds like he doesn't know what he wants to do with the scripts. And it sounds like he can be challenging to work with.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's replaceable for this show.
Yeah, I think maybe there was a lot of stories around. There was a female director that was originally hired on the show. And he basically took all her aesthetic and everything she did and claimed it as his own. Maybe bring her back. maybe bring her back on board.
If that's true, then for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard so much random shit about him. And it's hard to know because there hasn't been like a actual piece on like, here's this timeline of whatever it is, what's going on with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so yeah, we'll see. So, maybe eventually season three, maybe something. We're not leaving Euphoria behind, but you do think there's a possibility that we might not be, this might be it for, all right, let me phrase it this way. Again, not having watched the show, there's just two seasons and there was a couple specials in between seasons one and two, correct?
Let me look.
Okay. But as for someone that has watched the show, if Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney's and Jacob Elordi's stories ended with season two, would that feel satisfying to you? Would you be okay with that? Okay.
No.
Okay.
But I also don't know that it's satisfying to pay up 5 years later. Okay. So season one, episode one was June 16th, 2019.
Wow.
Season two, episode one was June 9th, 2022.
Yeah. But didn't they drop a couple specials in pandemic times in between? Whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't watch the show. That's just what I was seeing when I was looking at the articles.
What were the specials?
Yeah, I want to say there was... We'll get back to it. But anyway, we will keep you guys...
I know that I watched... I think there was those two things, right?
Yeah.
Aired, or maybe it was just one. December 4th, 2020.
Yeah.
But where did they put that on their IMDb? They just didn't?
Yeah, that's weird. Normally, maybe at the end of season one, sometimes they like to lump those.
At the end of season one, but no, it ends at episode 8, August 4th, 2019.
Well, we will see. We will see. The other thing, if I recall, Roxy, correct me if I'm wrong, you're a pretty big Bruce Springsteen fan.
Die hard.
How do you feel about these rumors? Not rumors. They're, apparently, Jeremy Allen White is circling. He just hasn't signed on yet, but he's circling to play Springsteen. It says no deals have been finalized, but Scott Cooper is circling to write and direct the movie titled Deliver Me From Nowhere. Weird that it doesn't have a script, but they have a name for it, which hails from Eric Robertson and Ellen Goldsmith Vane, whatever. A24 is also in talks to board the project and is going to follow Bruce Springsteen in an upcoming, as he was making the 1982 album Nebraska. So Jeremy Allen White playing Bruce Springsteen while he's making the album Nebraska.
Yeah. I love Bruce Springsteen. Shout out to next weekend. He's in LA twice. I'm a huge, huge fan. Like, I'm going to say maybe a couple months ago, my friend Jeff Snyder was like, it should be played by Jeremy Allen White. And when he said it, I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. They do look super duper similar. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, we know, has been like this Chicago dude who, and oftentimes, even though Chicago's Midwest, oftentimes they are like compared to having very East Coast energy. Mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen's from Asbury Park, New Jersey. He's super Jersey. I'm actually curious where Jeremy Allen White's originally from. Because he's got super duper like Jersey type energy. Yeah, he's born in New York. So, yeah. I mean, we've seen him play like City Guy for Shameless and now for The Bear. But he's a New Yorker, which makes sense. And they look a lot alike. They have that kind of like vibe, the hair, the face, the tough boy attitude that's still super endearing and lovable. Bruce Springsteen is like the greatest performer of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm super curious about the singing aspect of it. I just don't know that much about Jeremy Allen White as a performer like that. Yeah. Like not even just because you can, I guess, get somebody else to do the voice if they needed to do that. But I think Jeremy Allen White, I read an article that he can sing.
Okay.
I don't know how, but Bruce's voice is so specific. Mm-hmm. That it would be shocking to me that they found somebody who looked as much like young Bruce as Jeremy does, but also sounds exactly like him. You know, that would be like kind of wild. That was already a big star, known actor.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that aspect. Like visually, yes. Attitude, yes. But Bruce is like, he not only just with his voice, but as a performer, he's so specific. You know, he's known for his live shows. He's known for like these like crazy, insane performances and concerts. So just I'm not saying Jeremy can't do that, but I don't know anybody on the planet that can do that. That's why he's Bruce Springsteen. You know, like we found people to play Elvis before, so you can find people to play Bruce. But like, did he audition for that? What's the singing part of it?
So what I'm, it's wild that Roxy doesn't want to see Jeremy Allen White play Bruce Springsteen. That's a weird take, but that's the note we're going to end on with that. With news is no to Jeremy Allen. No. Would there be anybody else that you'd consider like maybe?
I think that he's an unknown might be a path that I would want to explore because I would first want to find somebody who can sound like Bruce.
Yeah. I do like the only thing that I want to zoom on here is I do like the idea of focusing on a specific moment in his career. I think that's a smart biopic choice. A lot of them are like, here's our entire life. And it's just very formulaic and kind of not great, I don't think. So it's, what was that?
I'm happy about that as well.
Yeah. Of tough guy attitude, cool guy attitude. Let's talk about Godzilla times Kong, the new empire. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. Directed by Adam Wingard, written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. It's not starring. It's absolutely wasting Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, and Kaylee Hodel. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, this has a 54% and an audience score of 94%. Roxy, we went and saw Godzilla X Kong together.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Spoiler free.
Well, I actually think that I definitely liked this significantly more than you or anybody we were around.
Yeah.
Not to give away everybody's thoughts, but it was Jeff Snyder behind me, DJ next to me, and Christian next to him.
Yeah.
And for sure, when the movie ended, I was the only one who had really anything positive to say about it.
Yeah.
That being said, it's not good. I just really enjoyed some of it. Like,
yeah, totally fair.
Sometimes I feel like, you know what was so weird about this? It almost played like, the reason I think I was digging some of it is because it really kind of played like television for me.
Mm.
First of all, he low-key looked like Grodd in this, where I was like, huh, this like some of his movements were very mechanical.
Okay.
But it played like television in some ways because they had so many storylines.
Yes, they did.
I mean, there was so many storylines where I was like, I am never bored because y'all keep, like, the second that I'm in something and you introduce a whole new storyline that ends up not being relevant at all, but, like, we're just here, and then we're there, and then yeah. we're there, and we're here, and then this character, this thing, this person, this whatever. That's not good storytelling.
Mm-mm.
I just kind of was like, oh, okay, let's, yeah. like, go down. And at some point, it hits me, and we're, like, halfway through, and I was like, wow. Yeah. Y'all are, like, and it's makes perfect sense that this is Godzilla X Kong, mm-hmm. because it's certainly not Godzilla V Kong.
Yeah.
And it started, and then I'm having the thought process while watching it, like, what is X?
What does X represent? You know, it's
like, it's almost like this should have been Godzilla, comma, Kong.
Mm-hmm. Or I, comma, more accurately, I think Kong with Godzilla. It's very much the and I actually think this is smart. These American Monsterverse movies have realized, like, for them, Kong is a better protagonist. He's an ape. He can form expressions. You know what I mean? Where audiences, it's easier for an audience to connect with him. And so this is a Kong movie that happens to also have Godzilla in it, I would argue.
I think, but there's so much storyline about Kong with the, I'm actually not quite clear what Godzilla, the part with Godzilla with the snake titan.
Yeah.
There were some parts of this where I was like, they have exposition wise told me exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So much visually, exposition.
That's not what I see.
Yeah.
Is happening here, but I know what you're doing. So there was Godzilla stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there was whole storylines with Godzilla, 15 of them. but it was more about Kong, and it was a lot more about the young actress, who I think is very good, actually.
Yeah.
I much preferred Rebecca Hall in this movie to the last movie, though.
You know, it's funny. I'm probably going to rewatch Godzilla versus Kong tonight. Here's the thing. When I get into my thoughts, I like kaiju movies. I liked Godzilla versus Kong. I still think the high point of the franchise is Kong Skull Island. But we have a comment here for watching live, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Mike Joy says, it sounds like big, dumb fun. I can't wait to see it. Well, buckle up, Mike, because here's what I would argue. This movie performs one of the few cardinal sins of a kaiju movie, in that I found it excruciatingly boring. I found it so boring for such long stretches, because so much of the movie is explaining the movie, and it's really not that complicated a plot. Like, there is a Kong Last of Apes, and this is from the trailers, so I actually don't know that you can spoil this movie. There's not like a big, oh my god, there's an evil Kong, he wants to come up to the surface and fuck around, which, by the way, question mark why we care, because there's a scene in this movie where they're like, thank god we have Godzilla here to help us out when bad kaiju show up, and you just see Godzilla like decimate, I think it's like Italy, with another kaiju, and I'm like, we're okay that this is just a thing that happens now. that famous tourist destinations are going to get wiped off the fucking, nobody's moved from these places, there's always civilians running around, like, we're not doing anything to mitigate this at all, we're just like, every once in a while,
what would you do?
I think maybe shove all the monsters back into the hollow earth. But anyway, so much of this movie is set up for like the last 20 minutes. Like, we don't get like Kong and Godzilla interacting till like the very end of the movie. We don't really see them confront these new antagonists we're introducing, the Scar King and Shimu, until like the last 20 minutes of the movie. So much of it is poor.
What's Shimu?
Shimu's the ice Godzilla.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is new to this movie.
That thing was cool.
It looked cool. Listen, there's stuff that looks cool. There's action scenes that look cool. But like poor Rebecca Hall, who's an honest to God actress, like she's been in good things. Her job is solely to stand around and explain what is happening in the movie. And I can't stress this enough. I don't think it merits that much explaining. There's the bad one, and Kong needs to stop the bad one, and he's going to need Godzilla's help. That's your setup, man. Like, get to the good shit. Like, I don't need all this. Like, the exposition is so bad in this movie. For those that don't remember, by the way, you don't need to see Godzilla versus Kong, because the good first 20 minutes of this movie is re-explaining everything that happened in the previous movies. Rebecca Hall, who's adopted, I think the character's name is Gia, played by Kaylee Huddle. That's who you were talking about earlier. Is watching the documentary about the girl, about the tribe the girl came from that she adopted. Why is she watching this? She knows. She was there. It's not new. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's clearly just there for the audience, but it's one of those, Roxy, you write. So I'm going to assume you've had an experience like this where you're in your maybe first or second draft and you're like, this blows. Like, you're like, maybe this script is bad. Maybe. And then like three or four or five drafts in, you're like, oh, now it's something. It felt like they took the like draft two and like good and enough.
You thought this was the vomit draft.
Yeah, man. Like, it just felt like, not that any, because again, I really can't stress this enough. Like, some of the people we talked to in the movie were like, all these movies are stupid like this. And I was like, I like these movies. I am on board with this genre. I like Big Monster A fighting Big Monster B. You don't need to sell me on that. It just took so long to get to that shit. It's like either do Godzilla Minus One, where you have a compelling human story that you then interject Godzilla into. You know, Jaws is a similar formula. In fact, there's a lot of parallels between Jaws and Godzilla Minus One. Steven Spielberg tends to be pretty good at this stuff. Jurassic Park is a little bit more monster-centric, but the human characters in that movie are compelling and likable. That's like the A-plus version of this type of movie. I think the Godzilla versus Kong formula is just as serviceable, but that movie understood, like, we don't need a lot of setup for Godzilla versus Kong. We're going to give you three pretty solid Godzilla versus Kong fights. We're going to space them out throughout the movie, and then we're going to have some stupid bullshit in between. That works too. This one felt to me like setup, 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 setup. And it's like, God damn, this is not what I'm here for, guys.
Yeah. And then when we finally do get to, because like Leonard Kim said, Godzilla and Kong teaming up together sounds like an absolute dream. I can't wait to watch this. I would say that's definitely not what the movie is at all.
Yeah.
If that's what you're hoping for, unfortunately, that's a bummer. Don't go in with that mentality. Because like, we finally get to like when the two of them are interacting.
Mm-hmm.
The way that, and I don't want to give spoilers, but like, over and over and over again through the movie, it's like, if the two of them see each other, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And then it just like, from that point on, was really not that fun anymore. And that's supposed to be the most fun part.
Yeah, that's literally what we're building to the whole time.
Right. But there's just so much going on. I remember I kind of actually, and this movie was at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
I started kind of nodding off for a second. And then I was like, wow, the part that's like, making me is the big action sequence with finally we're here.
Yeah, the marquee moment. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that was as well done. But I did enjoy moments of this movie. I really did, because I do like that little girl.
Yes.
I think what they ended up doing with the character was so whack though. Like, just in general, to have a premise be, I guess this is too much of a spoiler.
Can we spoil this movie?
Because I guess, I'll try to say it as non-spoilery as possible. The way she interacted with other humans once where there, of course, are no words, but we're just using our...
Oh my God, yeah.
As an audience member, why would... That's the part that's the vomit draft. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they yada yada a lot of stuff. Like, how do these people understand each other? They're psychic. I mean, okay, I guess.
But you know who isn't psychic?
Yeah. the audience. Yeah. Well, but even so, going back earlier, Brian Tyree Henry's in this movie. I actually don't remember how he factors into Godzilla versus Kong. I thought him and Rebecca Hall interacted in that movie, but the way this movie plays it, maybe they didn't. And that whole, and that's the vomit draft stuff where like Rebecca Hall walks into a room like, hey, you run a podcast. You want to help me solve this mystery? And it's like, all right, I guess fuck everything.
I was glad the character was in it though, because at least I think he's really funny.
Him and Dan Stevens, that felt like something that was not in the script that they just kind of discovered. And it's right. Like, you should have leaned into that more, because that's the one part of this movie that actually kind of works, is those two together.
I think Dan Stevens made a character that worked, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed him too. So, yeah, I liked that. Now that I'm thinking about how did podcasts even really help in this one, though?
For some reason, he's like an expert on these things.
The most egregious moment of the entire movie, though, again being vague.
Yeah.
When I want to call it Middle Earth, but it's not.
Yeah. The Hollow Earth, which I hate. I hate that concept. I hate the whole thing.
Okay. The person we lose in Hollow Earth quickly.
Yeah. The guy that basically announces, by the way, I'm the asshole that's going to die. But I just want you guys to know from scene one, that's who my role is in this movie.
That was so, so stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, and then the reactions after.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it just goes back to that first draft feeling of like, okay, we got a guy. He's going to be the guy that dies. And so you expect them to like do something with that. And it's like, no, you guys didn't do another pass to figure out, to make me as an audience member, like give, even if the bit is he's the dick that's going to die, it's like do something, something with that. Like, I will say,
why did we do that when it's like, I thought then it was going to be like, how do we get out of here?
Yeah, no, they don't care about that shit. That doesn't matter. It actually ends up being pretty easy, the getting out of their part.
So what was the plot device? Like, what was the purpose?
Just because it's dangerous in the Hollow Earth, Roxy. By the way, this is another egregious thing. And you didn't watch Monarch Legacy of Monsters, did you?
No.
Okay, so that's the Godzilla show that's set in this universe. A massive plot point on that show. I guess light spoilers, but it's, you know, you kind of know it's coming. A massive plot point of that show is that Hollow Earth, and by the way, it's crazy to me that all this stuff it's a connected universe, and it's way less moving pieces than even the DCU, which has less moving pieces than the MCU. I really want to understand, is Hollow Earth in our Earth, or is it another dimension? Because they talk about it both ways. Like, this movie says, no, it's in our Earth, but then when they go down there, it's like a light tunnel, and they shoot out like a laser beam, and it's like, what's happening when we go here? And I think one of the reasons, and I probably said this every time we've reviewed one of these movies, whenever they talk about the Hollow Earth, it makes me think about like flat earthers, and like this might be a real conspiracy. And I'm like, don't do this, guys. Don't. We're having such a hard time just getting people on the board with basic physics. Like, don't do this shit.
Part of Hollow Earth looked really cool.
It looked cool. I actually thought the Kong's design looked cool. I actually thought focusing on Kong, he makes a good protagonist. Like I was compelled mm-hmm. by him. I do love just things I like. You've seen it in the trailers. They introduce a baby Kong. And of course, you know, me being the cynical asshole I am, I'm like, you know, it felt like a rip on baby Yoda and baby Groot. But that character's not immediately pro Kong. And there is a scene where, and it's slight spoilers, where Kong uses baby Kong as a bludgeon to beat up other Kongs. That was great. That moment was cool. Unexpected and very funny.
I thought that was cool. I actually liked the baby Kong stuff, and I liked the scene where they were eating together.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking about things
that, like, where we're just kind of watching how this works. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, totally. I will say a little bit in that scene, Kong fights a giant snake kaiju right before Godzilla fights a different giant snake kaiju. It's like, we could switch it up a little bit. I will say, as a fan, this, I think, is a spoiler. This might have been in trailers. They do introduce another iconic kaiju that is with Godzilla and Kong, and just as a fan of these characters, seeing those three on screen together, it nothing comes of it in a cool way, but seeing it happen, I was like, that the fanboy in me, like, seeing this.
I'm surprised from earlier. I think Godzilla looks so much better than Kong in this movie.
Really?
Yes, I didn't think that Kong looked that great in this movie. I told you, I thought he looked like Grodd CW. Like, yeah. There was parts of his movement that felt very stiff. Like, I don't know. I actually don't know what it was that I liked the way he looked in the Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah. And this one, I was like, I don't know. He's moving weird to me.
That didn't vibe with you. Yeah.
From the opening when I was like, oh.
Yeah. That was, yeah, it's Kong's, functionally Kong is the protagonist of this movie. So we spent a lot of time with Kong, and that might have not helped in your situation. But one thing that's agreed, again, it's a shared universe. We're talking, I think, 5 movies in one show. And it's a huge plot point in Monarch Legacy of Monsters that when you enter the Hollow Earth, time moves differently. Which does not fucking matter or factor in at all in this movie. It is not, it doesn't, they do not give a shit. Which I is fine, except that, like, that was literally the last thing that came out before this movie. And to the point where theoretically, all our main characters, like, when our characters went into Hollow Earth, by the time they left, it should have been like 2040. Like, it's just time, whatever. But maybe they're giving themselves the loosey-goosey rules where, depending on what part of the Hollow Earth you're in, or how long, it's never the same thing twice, whatever. It just felt, the whole thing, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, it's just a dumb monster movie. Why do you care? Again, I like these movies, so I want them to be like the better versions of themselves. This movie bummed me out. Like, I was excited. I liked Godzilla versus Kong. I was excited for this movie. I like Adam Wingard as a director. He did Your Next. He did The Guest. Those are some really iconic, like, indie horror movies that I think are really good. Dan Stevens is in The Guest.
Go ahead.
No, go. I like Dan Stevens. I think he's good. I think he's one of those actors you can pretty much put in anything and he'll do something cool with it.
I like him a lot too. I just wanted, he's who I was just going to ask you about. What about him and Rebecca Hall?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because we were just kind of talking around it. Clearly they're setting up like maybe him and Rebecca Hall, but it should be him and Brian Tyree Henry. That's where the chemistry is. Like those two, these two should just go off and be together.
Just like setting up, we're in our second movie. Like, for when?
Yeah, for real. And what happened to fucking the Skarsgård that was in the last one? Is he just not around? He's just not around anymore.
I don't know. When they started like heavy flirting, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like.
And it would be cool.
But then not. Yeah. Zip, zip. What?
Would have been cool if like maybe just to give those actors something to do. Do more with that. Maybe there's something there.
Anything. Just, it really felt like this movie was on 50% for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing,
even though I did have fun, I'm going to say I had fun 50% of the time.
There you go. Good. I like that positive note. And they do try to do something with the girl and her finding her place, which should parallel Kong. And it just never
DJ, I can't give you that because the thing that then the conversation she ends up having with Rebecca Hall was so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought that was maybe some of the worst writing in the whole thing, and I can't give it away without spoilers, but Rebecca Hall, like, tries to push her to do.
Yeah.
Like, you are her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel so fucking unwanted.
Yeah. Hey, kid, get out of here.
You sure you don't want it?
Yeah.
You should. You could.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
That's your kid, bro.
Yeah.
Like.
So wait, real quick. I know we're running long. I'm so sorry. Real quick. Hold on. Jake Hefner, Discord questions. Jake Hefner, is the MonsterVerse still going strong or should it be laid to rest after seeing Godzilla Minus One last year? I was shocked at how much better it was comparatively. Would you want more MonsterVerse movies?
I haven't seen Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Minus One.
They are both very good.
That's what I hear.
They're very good.
I guess I'll continue to watch these movies for as long as they're there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. On my social media, if I like a movie, I review it. And if I don't like a movie, I do not review it, because I'm also an actress. And I also don't just like to shit on people's art in 60 seconds and then say peace.
Yeah.
You know, like have a conversation about it. I didn't review this movie.
Yep.
Because I didn't know what to say in 60 seconds that was of value on it. So when I don't review something, it usually means that I'm not like stoked about the next one, but I would watch it.
Yeah. He also asks, and why is it that American Godzilla films can never seem to stack up to Toho? It's because Godzilla's a cultural touchstone in Japan. He means more to them than he does to us. We like him, but especially when you're talking about Godzilla Minus One, they use the best Godzilla movies use Godzilla as a way to process national trauma, which we don't. That's not what Godzilla means to us. And we have different national traumas. Last one, Clementine. I've been super interested in Godzilla X Kong because it seems from the trailers that they've started treating them less like monsters and more like superheroes. Would you say this is the case in the final film, or am I off base with that assessment? I would say this one very much leans into like, what if these characters were superheroes and less giant monsters? They're giant monsters that also happen to behave like superheroes. Did you feel the same way?
Except for the what you're talking about when we open in Italy.
Yeah. But Godzilla's just like wrecking shut. So many national monuments get destroyed.
I guess in the way that Batman v Superman destroys everything too. So like,
yeah,
I guess.
You just think, put up a fence or something. You guys are able to make giant gloves and shit. You can't make like some sort of deterrent for these guys.
Oh my God. The way that immediately just...
Oh, yeah, we had it over here. You remember that place we were over? It's over there. It's over there.
Massively just chilling.
Yes. Uh-huh. Where were you keeping it?
He's either going to love this or he's going to hate. He loves it.
Yeah.
What?
We see this little shack and they're like, yeah, the giant glove that's the size of a building. It was over there.
We already made it, but then they scrapped the project after it worked.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Which makes you think, were they building a whole Kong armor? That would have been cool. That would have been cool. All right, guys, we got to go. Roxy, where can the kids find what you're working on?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow this show everywhere that matters. Not only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter/X.
And get the vowels from stupid.
And we will see you all next time. Thanks, everybody, that joined us live. Bye, everybody.